Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, last hour on a Tuesday, the 24th of January, it is National Peanut Butter Day. Creamy or crunchy?
Crunchy.
Crunchy.
Brian Great. Christopherson of Husker 24/7, creamy or crunchy peanut butter?
Probably creamy now. I used to be crunchy Ooh. When I was a kid, though. I think I've shifted.
Is there a reason why? Texture?
No, it's just,
convenience.
It's like those commercials where you're becoming like your parent. I don't know. Certain things in your world just sort of you're like, I turned into that. Huh? I'm not a crunchy guy.
Oh, creamy spreads better.
Relatable.
Creamy spreads better. I'll give you that. But it's just something about the crunch. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm old enough. There was an ad back in the day for was it Jiffy or whatever. Mm-hmm. They would the mom would draw a heart in the peanut butter for her son. And my mother did that for me every morning. And so I carry that with me. That's a special peanut butter memory with mom. Aww.
Hey, something you just mentioned, God, don't some of those progressive commercials where you're turning into your mom or dad, don't they all kind of like hit home? And you pause and you go, oh, that's right. I do some things like my dad used to do.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep, there's no doubt about it. In fact, I am the people in those commercials.
Do you realize? So I don't know how you guys feel about this, but there's the one where the guy at the very end has the remote control. He wants to Velcro it. I looked at my wife. I'm like, that's a great idea. And she goes, stop it. Stop it right now. I'm like, no, it's a good idea. We lose the remote all the time.
Yeah.
Hey,
the one where the lady is speaking on her speakerphone in the store, the mom. That I looked at my mom. I was like, "You should just walk out of the room." I mean, that's you.
Hey, we are all doing the math on Nebraska scholarship distribution. There's a lot of programs that probably are very envious that can't get to 85. Nebraska says, "No, don't worry about that."
Yeah.
But it's going to work out that you will get to 85 by the time that camp opens up. But there's the discussion about, you know, you got to process players, or players will, you know, and after spring they'll realize that, you know, they're not making any headway. They want to play, going to have a better opportunity somewhere else. But the thing that I keep hearing is, well, you know, we have name, image, likeness. Why can't we just put guys on name, image, likeness scholarship? Do you think that's realistic? And if it is, how do you think it would work?
That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to, so I'm not going to give a good answer. But I've pondered that myself, and it's worth floating in the air. Is there something now with the way things are structured that allows you to keep guys who you would consider usually scholarship guys on board in a different format? They're financially covered one way or another. It's all up and up. Is that possible? I don't know. I think there might be avenues to that. So it's worth exploring how they could work that out. I think one of the things about that, which could be tricky, is I wonder how much they'll want, if there is stuff like that you can do, how much you want to like publicize all of it, you know, like, so that's where it could be one of those, sort of difficult things where you're like, oh, that guy's not technically on scholarship, huh? But he's still here, and you don't know the exact reason, but you got to figure there's something that's keeping him, you know, in a good spot financially. I definitely think in this, the way college football and college sports is set up, there are maybe avenues that weren't there previously that you at least got to think about. But I'm not also saying that's for sure happening. I don't know. It is, what are they at? Like high 90s now with guys over there? So, I mean, they're going to have,
right?
gonna have to be 10 to 15. Yeah, 15 guys plus maybe.
Yeah. Yep.
That are going to have to disappear, or you find avenues for them. And maybe there's some guys they know about, too, that are leaning a certain way, or, you know, something's happening, and that's always the case. this is maybe not a good reporter thing, but I do always sort of, when people ask that, I say, you know what? Pretty smart guys over there. They know what they got to get to. One way or another, they're going to get there, and we're going to document it. And I don't know how it's going to be, but it's going to happen, and it will. But, yeah. Man, it's going to be competitive in the spring and interesting.
Yeah, and we've been talking about the competition. Obviously, you need to get 15. Maybe there's more to come that you're going to add to the roster between now and the end of April. But do you kind of look at that percentage of the people who will end up hitting the transfer portal post spring? I mean, do you think it's going to be pretty much like, 80% of those are going to be the no-brainers, or do you think there could be some more surprises than maybe we're giving credit to?
I suppose there could be a surprise or two. You never know if, someone just doesn't feel like they fit after they go through a spring. I mean, there's always that possibility.
Right.
I don't think there'll be many of those, though. I think they would probably be guys you figure, okay, they've went through the process. They feel like, maybe they weren't told specifically this, but they feel like they're sixth or seventh at their spot or whatever, third, fourth team. And it's just like, I want to try something else, and you'll see them pop in there. So I think it's going to be more of those guys, but you guys know, like, you wake up every morning and you're like, I'm prepared to be surprised with something. So you never say for sure. Like, if you had told me, like, back on, late October, early November, and maybe I had my head on the sand on this, but I'll just say it. I didn't think Ernest Hausman was leaving back then,
know?
So, I mean, that I always think about examples like that where it's like, well, don't act like somebody's a given because you never know anymore.
Your reaction, because now you're on the side of at 24/7 where, you cover recruiting on a daily basis compared to the Journal Star. What's your read on the 2-month approach to recruiting? What would be a word or two you would use to describe the way Nebraska approaches recruiting, whether it be in the state of Texas, in state, or elsewhere that they've kind of planted their flag?
I would say relentless. It's fair. I mean, it just feels like it's nonstop. Oh, they offered this guy. Oh, he's a 25 guy. Okay, that's a 24 guy. It's not even one lane of the road you're necessarily settled in. It's not like they just said, okay, we're here and we're going to try our best to put together this 23 class and then we'll catch a breath and we'll work from there. No, they were at the same time. They've been in on intriguing guys for the next cycle, for the one we're now entering, and the one beyond. I mean, they're going to host a 25 QB, I think, this weekend. And, Aaron Hampton didn't come in, but he's a top 100 or whatever recruit in the 24 class. He was supposed to be here with the guys who are deciding right now. So I would say it's been relentless. It's been caffeinated, like Red Bull recruiting, it feels like. I mean, all those apply, I think.
Well, and Brian, this is the one thing that I've kind of pondered as well, because I think anytime you get a former NFL coach, even a guy who was a college coach like Matt Rhule, but you just come from the NFL, people are always wondering, okay, how's recruiting going to look? Is this going to be something that's going to be a top priority, knowing that it needs to be, especially to place like at Nebraska? So clearly, part of Matt Rhule winning over Trev and Trev, feeling confident in Matt Rhule, there was obviously a plan on how they're going to rebuild the roster. As you just pointed out there, just the energy that's gone into this with this coaching staff, including Matt Rhule, is that what you just are going to expect every year? I mean, is this not necessarily trying to put out the best first impression, but this is just the way it's going to be with the staff?
Well, a couple lines stick out. Rhule on the early signing day broadcast was talking about how some of his coaches were having a conversation. I think they're at Temple, and they said, man, if we ever get a logo on our sweater, it's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
And so there's they weren't knocking where they're at, but it's just a real comment about, like, okay, they felt like we can get dudes to Temple, and we've put them in the league from Temple, and guys who were under the radar there. Imagine if we can walk into hallways at a Power 5 program, and obviously, Baylor was that, but, even Baylor's been better than Nebraska recently, but I know what they're saying. There's that Nebraska name that still resonates with like that 45-year-old high school coach and some of those people when you walk in and there's something to it. And so when he said that, that told you like they are very confident in like exactly how they do things and the process that has taken them to success elsewhere. And now why can't that be sort of on steroids? You know, with the Nebraska logo. And then Tony White, defensive coordinator, in the media gathering, he said, you know, if you can't recruit, you ain't here. That's just this staff. Like, it's going to be a competitive staff, even with each other in recruiting. And that's just the way this program is going to be run. And so I don't think it's the first impression. I don't think I'm just buttering them up by saying this stuff. I think that's just how they're going to be as far as recruiting goes. And now the question is, can they develop those guys at the same level they did at Baylor and Temple?
What do you think and then it happens yesterday where you get two commitments from two guys from Texas at these respective positions. How do you think wide receiver in the spring will play out? Not necessarily names, but guys that will be in their top six, why will they be in their top six? What do you think will be the difference when Garrett McGuire goes through his first spring in deciding with a bunch of different pieces on which ones are going to be the most important pieces?
I think it's just going to be who does the details the best. But, you know, I think they're going to want physical guys too. As much as they've talked about, you know, the want to run the ball and having a bit of old school flavor to what they do, they're going to want guys on the perimeter who are going to lay it on the line, and they're going to be impact guys, whether the ball's coming their way or not. That's what I think. Now, I'm really interested when we hear from, you know, Garrett McGuire for reasons beyond, you know, everybody's of course interested that he's such a young guy in his position. But yeah, I would lay out like, what is your vision for this? What is a great receiver to you? What did that experience, you know, the last couple of years working with the Carolina Panthers and guys who are grown men, pros, like, you know, Robbie Anderson type guys.
Yeah.
What did that teach you and how can that help going forward? So I'm interested in all of that. But I think they're going to have to be physical guys who, you know, the guys who know their stuff in and out and are show that by the end of spring, okay, this is what you've put in front of me. I've read the book. I've got a good knowledge of it. And I think that that's the separation point in a room that is going to be elbows out. I mean, there's two or three guys you could name, like your Marcus Washingtons and stuff, or, you know, maybe Alonte Brown. But it feels like everybody should be on the edge of their seat in that room.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is when you start thinking about building some type of rapport and chemistry, that Casey's not going to really have much of that in the spring. So you look at Jeff Sims, and, you know, if you start to see something with him and a certain group of wide receivers, I mean, how impactful do you think that is going into the fall, what seems to be an inevitable competition between Casey and Jeff Sims?
Well, yeah. I mean, that would have to be tough for Casey. I mean, when you're maybe not involved in the spring as you recover from, you know, shoulder injuries or whatever has all took place with the off-season work, because there is going to be that rapport that gets built up, you know, between a QB and his receivers. It starts to become a little bit of a connection there. And, obviously, you know, he has it with some of those guys. I think he has it with Marcus and Nolante, and there's a few others that have been around. I can't spin it another way. It feels like a golden opportunity for Sims if he's like the main guy out there, you know, for 15 practices, not just to like show like, okay, I'm picking up this system well and I'm on the same page as Satterfield. But yeah, look at this development of the bond between me and the receivers. I mean, if he can get that going, that is a half step ahead of the other person who can't have that. Yeah. So that's definitely a dynamic in this thing.
Hey, let me ask you about Cam Taylor-Britt, because it's people say Who Day, and they say, well, it's the Nebraska Bengals. You have Stanley Morgan, you have Cam Taylor-Britt, you have Zach Taylor, you have Troy Walters. So there's four guys that are in the organization. And watching Cam Taylor-Britt play, and he's probably of rookie cornerbacks in that organization. They had a great player named Leon Hall, but that's going back, man, maybe 15 years ago. But CTB has, as the season has gone on, has gotten better at the tail end. He's gotten more experience under his belt. What some people are surprised that he's able to step in and he's playing at a high level, especially like he played on Sunday. Why doesn't it surprise you that Cam Taylor-Britt has transitioned into the NFL and has made an impact like he has on a team that is very much a Super Bowl type team?
Because if you watched him, it doesn't surprise me, because if you watched him against the best receivers in the Big Ten when he was at Nebraska, he was a problem for them. Like, he frustrated Jahan Dotson. David Bell, I mean, remember the game? Yeah. It might have been the COVID year. I don't remember. The year they won out in Purdue. And he was on Bell for a large part of the game and held him to like 50 yards, you know, something, which is pretty good. And then Bell had that one catch that where two like Huskers collided and it stacked his numbers, and he got it. You give David Bell credit there. But Cam could shut those guys down and take away like the main guy from the other offense in the Big Ten for those who are paying attention. And yeah, he had a couple bonehead plays along the way. I think it took a while for Husker fans, if we're honest, to get over that mishap in the opener against Illinois, you know, on the 2-yard line, and he kind of struggled as a punt returner. But if you just focus on his corner work, he was a freak, and the other guys that were going against him knew that. They like, you know, and so it was like game recognizes game. You could tell everybody thought that about him, and I'm not surprised at all. He's taken off as he has. I remember a Friday Night Lights once. I was sitting there. He had just arrived on campus. He was a freshman. And there's that fence that separates, like, you know, the seating area from the field. There's a red fence. It's a decent-sized fence. He was standing still, and he just jumped without any run and jumped over it, way over it. Like, I mean, he was, like, 1.5 feet over this fence. And I was like, that guy's a freak. Like, it was one of those things, like, this guy is, I can't wait to watch him. So I'm really happy for him.
You know what? And I know that development has been a big topic. Of lack of development has plagued Nebraska the last 5 years under Scott. Cam Taylor-Britt would be one of those guys that I would say he came in, he was extremely talented at Alabama, because remember, I remember interviewing him, and he wanted to talk more about his offensive ability than where Nebraska was going to start him out playing at cornerback. But he came in a little bit raw, and he left as a guy in a short amount of time that started nearly every game outside of his first year. That I think he's a prototypical, if we have to say, hey, who's a guy you developed, and especially Travis Fisher, you could say, hey, there's a guy in the NFL in his rookie year in Cam Taylor-Britt.
Yeah, and you know what else about Cam I would tell people? I think they sense that he had a great personality, but like he came back for his pro day, he did a little gathering with the media, and I don't want to say those things are awkward, but sometimes you can tell guys are kind of done with the place. You know, they've kind of moved on to the next step in their life. Not always, but some guys do. And Cam was like so appreciative to be back in Nebraska. And he just said, I miss you guys. Like he had this big smile. And he's talking about, he just missed this place and everything about being there and stuff. And he was proud to be a Husker, and like his parents were watching him, you know, as he did it. And they were there. And I just thought like, this is a guy, you hope he takes off on Sundays, because he was proud to be here, even though this program didn't take off and fly wins-wise. And it's too bad it didn't, because you talk about in this age of athletes marketing themselves and stuff, like he was kind of one of the first guys in he had the Cam Juice thing, and it's stuff that would have taken off more if Nebraska had really got it going, I think, with on the field as a team, his individual like personality. But because that didn't happen, we've kind of missed out on seeing how some of that stuff can grow around here with NIL and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think he would have been an example where it did.
I agree. BC, appreciate it. Have a great week.
Yep. Thanks a lot, guys.
That's Brian Christofferson. First interview we did, and he has always been a great interview, because he's got a bunch of, his personality is really good, and you don't know if he's joking or he's serious. But I remember one of our first questions was about his prowess, you know, in high school in Montgomery, Alabama, playing quarterback. And he goes, did you see me play quarterback? And I said, well, what are you going to start at in Nebraska? And he goes, well, they want me to start on defense, but he goes, I can play quarterback in the Big Ten. He goes, I can play. And we said, well, you know, they have a guy named Adrian Martinez. He goes, yeah, but I can play quarterback in the Big Ten. I mean, you know, in a rookie season of the guys, the guys of the last 5-6 years that have been drafted, I mean, tough to find anybody that's had a better start than Cam Taylor-Britt. You know, you got Jack Stoll playing for the Eagles. So, I mean, Nebraska's going to be represented. And, but CTB is, I didn't think that he would get to this point as quick as he had.
Yeah.
I've always been a fan. I think he rode the roller coaster a bit. But when he was good, he was really, really good. But, man, he was in an ideal situation. And he was filthy on Sunday.
Well, and
they were not challenging him. And when they did, he was there to make a play.
Yeah, which was it was fun to see. And BC brings up the game, I think, that always stands out to everybody in that Purdue game against David Bell and high pointing that ball on the interception. It just it gave you a glimpse of what he can do, especially when you know people were trying to challenge him. But I'm with you as far as surprising how quickly he's ascended in the NFL, because I remember when you know Zach Taylor, they go to the war room. They're like, hey, you got your Husker. And I'll admit, I kind of like, you know, all right, cool. Is this the best guy available for you?
He was not projected to be a second round.
No, he wasn't. And that's why I don't want to say like I mocked it or anything. But when someone goes, and you got your Cornhusker too, like, oh well, that's the only reason Zach Taylor and the organization made that pick. I thought, okay, good luck with that. You know, we'll see how quickly that goes, especially going that high up on a guy that, you know, really was probably grading out to more of maybe at best a 4 in the fourth round. But, yeah, it's worked out well. And it just kind of goes to show you he's always had that ability. It was the, as you mentioned, the roller coaster. We saw a lot of that, especially his last season. But as far as the ability when he's at his best, I mean, he is. He's got elite level ability when he's at his best, and now that he's finding that confidence in the league, it's awesome to see, and I'm curious to see what type of heights it takes him to, especially being able to do it on the platform in the postseason. I mean, getting that game clinching interception to just kind of put the cherry on top, it's great to see, but probably shouldn't be overly surprising that he can do it. It's just the fact that he's had this quick rise in his rookie season.
I'm glad that BC brought up the game against Penn State. So that's a game during the COVID year.
Yeah.
And he shut down Dotson. That's a game where he makes the pick. He gets a pick six.
Yep.
And he was fantastic. He also, and this is probably one of the things going back on his Nebraska career, is, and this is, I mean, the kind of athlete that he was, I thought he'd be utilized more on special teams, but he wasn't super comfortable full-time returning kickoffs or punts. Yeah. But in that Penn State game, he had a monster 25-yard punt return that set up a score for Nebraska right before a halftime. I mean, I think of all the games that he played in Nebraska, that Penn State game in the COVID year was maybe his best game. And it was, he was going against an NFL wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And we saw the result in the following 2 years. So you all can root for the Huskers that are playing for the Bengals. But just remember, there is...
Keep thinking.
Yeah, Boodle. Nothing. Boodle is not there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, man.
That's okay. And you've got, I mean, the best Nebraska quarterback to be in the NFL, Joe Burrow.
So I thought we were talking Ohio State.
Ohio State claims him. LSU claims
LSU
him.
Does, yeah.
Alabama claims Hurts. Oklahoma claims Hurts.
Yeah. Did you see they're replaying the Iowa State-Oklahoma game earlier today?
That was
the Hurts versus Purdy, which was a fantastic
game.
Was
it a 42-41 game?
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
I wonder if Purdy has done enough, regardless of what happens on Sunday in Philadelphia, to be the 2023 starter.
I wondered that too.
Yeah, and what's Trey Lance thinking right now?
Nashville.
What's Lynch thinking right now?
Make sure my phone is charged for all the people that need quarterbacks are going to call me about two I got on my roster.
Yep. And how quickly my bold elevator's working.
So it's kind of, you know, maybe the glass slipper falls off this weekend, but you still have an exceptional defense, which I don't think that game's getting enough attention. I don't think the Eagles are getting enough attention.
Still.
But it could be like the Giants with Daniel Jones. So Daniel Jones has earned some money this season.
Yeah.
But in the biggest game, Daniel Jones looked way too much like the Daniel Jones under Joe Judge than under Brian Daboll. Brock Purdy in a game against Philadelphia with a trip to go to the Super Bowl and be a rookie starter in the Super Bowl,
yeah,
which Maybe the only other rookie that's gotten a snap in the Super Bowl is Cordell Stewart in a little mop-up time with the Steelers.
That's when he was slashed.
You're on the biggest stage. I mean, yeah. if all of a sudden you look like Brock Purdy, seventh-round pick, you know.
That environment, too.
What happens? Because the Giants will finish a deal with Daniel Jones.
Yes.
You know, I think the Niners. I think he's done enough with that offense, the way with his offensive coordinator and Kyle Shanahan, that he will be the starter in 2023. I think it'd be tough to bring in a Trey Lance or bring Jimmy G back. Even though I guess Jimmy G might be active this weekend.
They did say that when it wasn't a season ender, they didn't feel like if they had a extended appearance in the playoffs that Jimmy G could be back. From the original time that injury, that there was talk that he could be back if they make a run in the playoffs. But, I mean, you're not doing that.
It will be the first team that probably is capable, truly, of when you say, Brock Purdy, we're daring you to beat us.
Yes.
And if he does, then he's got a job in 23.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, he'll be with the Niners in 23. It's just, will he be opening day start?
Right.
All right, 9:31. We'll take a break. We have
got a stat.
Our stat, because you have a chance to win $100.
Yeah, we do. $100. Remember this stat, and this one I thought was really crazy as we were kind of talking some college basketball. In Kansas's little losing streak, the year 1989. That is the last time Kansas has lost consecutive games in the state of Kansas. They lose in Bramlage last Monday, then they lose at home against TCU. They have not lost consecutive games in the state of Kansas since 1989. 1989 is the number, or is the year to know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.